great. Those are in Wisconsin, aren't they?
I don't know. No, there's no Washington. That's probably.
Harold, question about trouble. You've been doing a good job. The one thing I want to be sure you have in mind, though, I want to salute to agriculture. I want that to be one hell of a show, all day show. All of us working on a great day. All day show. Bring them in, big leaders in agriculture. We'll put this thing on a huge dinner, you know.
Well, that brings us really a nearer term problem. Is this.
What?
Pat Buchanan and Clark McGregor pick up the intelligence primarily through Shirley, but through some other sources on the Hill, that the Democrats are going to whack us on Monday, March 1. So we're not doing anything about rural development. I don't know if it'll be much.
Why don't we get up the numbers?
Well, we've got several things we can do. What we need one page of the farm bill that you signed requires you to submit a report to Congress. OMB is working up all the goodies. I've worked with Don Rice on this.
Yeah.
And this is kind of what we've done. So that's not much, but we could put that together and then put a covering letter on from you to Congress, which would recite some of those goodies and lift the curtain and talk a little bit about the revenue sharing and rural development and that sort of thing. Not particularly good. John came up with the idea that on the same day as this event, go out to Iowa and do something. This would be kind of like the way we did in farming last year. You went out first and lifted the curtain a little bit, and then we had a message a couple of weeks after it. What we would do in Iowa, if it is a question, we could you could meet with the farm lobby groups. You've done kind of the governors in Fargo and that sort of thing. And kind of build as, here are some of the things we're thinking about, more consultation, and send that report to Congress from there at that time.
Well, what the hell are you going to do for the farmers? We gave them the bill. The farm problem is just always, what more do they want?
I think it was essentially cosmetic.
Well, God, I'm delighted. I agree with you. I love to see the farmers. You know what I mean? They're people that put, and we bought a lot of them. I've got the cattle ranchers and the cattle growers.
Yes.
Rest, but maybe that's why I think the salute to agriculture. And at that time, we reward, among others, that Pulitzer Prize.
Yeah.
But one thing I'd like to do for the farmers, the Farm Energy is a very nice touch. When he retires, you remember, you know about the retirement. And they're bringing, Purdue is having a big deal in Indianapolis, a huge. All of the people, the Purdue people are all over the world, to person from other schools as well, honored Ray Hudding, that played with George McKinnon, a great person. Anyway, he's and I'm going to go out and do that. Make a little pitch for him in Indianapolis. That'll be another touch for the farms. That'll be in June. Cliff Harden asked me about it. He didn't ask it as a main issue that I considered, but I know Huffy and he's a friend. I want to go to Purdue. There are various reasons why it's a very good time to go to Indiana. But this thing, going to Iowa, sounds good to me. Another thing is that there's something to be said to go to a state where it isn't big at all. And go to some jackass.
That's what we're talking about. You were in the Navy there? Got an airfield, you can get in there.
Well,
Mexico, did she teach at school there?
Heavily Democratic in the city of Florida. That's
really nice. College
it is, yeah. I call them Oskaloosa. It's there before. You can check it.
The reason for a Tumwa course is a harking back. It's the tie back, and you're going back to the people you learned in Alma it gives you kind of a double bounce on the thing instead of just going out and staging something.
You think that works?
I don't know. We'll snap it out through Bob.
Well, think about it. The other thing about farming is that I guess you're thinking basically of an industrial farmer.
Well, we're thinking of just personifying this thing, really.
About going is the mountain space, that's just cattle.
Colorado and that sort of thing.
You could go to some place like, I'm thinking of some place like Rockefeller's place in Wyoming, Jackson Hole. You can make it nice. that's a place you might, if you want to put on a show on the road, you might as well go to a place where they can handle it. See, the trouble with going to any Midwestern place, you can't put anything on in Billings or Laramie because they don't have a hotel, you know, decent place to put it up, put us up. But you could go to Rockport's place in Jackson Hole, and they could be one hell of a swing.
That, that's not the Royal Hill.
I said, that's more oriented to the parks and
the farm.
Rockport's is a big deal, and I keep loving it. The farmer thing sounds very chumma.
Tell them we're in overnight for that back and forth. You don't have the logistical part.
One of the things about the rural areas, though, that struck me is you tend to think of them in terms of farmers. I think it affects agriculture directly. But the amount of income of people who live on farms from non-farm sources is very large and has been growing. And I recognize and study it, but I think that's the case. So the rural development idea is not beyond just farmers.
Exactly. Sure. They relate to them. We all know that. There are only 5% of the population are farmers now. But the other thing is the workforce. And if you say the other thing about that, though, is they all relate. They think of themselves as rural people. Nebraska thinks itself, even in Lincoln and Omaha, that they're rural people. You know, they really do. And we,
how about Kearney, Nebraska? Oh God, I've been to Nebraska.
Then it's so much easier
since you're part of Nebraska. No, I'm not going to go to Kearney. No.
That was a possibility. Des Moines, of course, is sort of the center of the whole land place, and it's got great hotels and everything, you know, and it's cold and all that and all. Another place is Sioux City.
Yes, we talked about
Wiley, Maine.
Yeah.
There's a city, mixture of sort of industrial and
farm tools and all that. So you've got a hell of a reception in Sioux City, that's for sure. There's sort of
don't go in place where you're going to psych up.
Oh, no, you play it. You ever got to play with it.
Is Missouri too hard to Springfield, or is it too far?
Missouri's good.
Well, he has a tough state after all.
I love it.
Doc Hall again?
Doc Hall would bother me a bit. Go to Springfield, Missouri. That's the best. I love it.
Well,
that's the paragraph.
But if we got into this thing in
Springfield, Missouri, why not?
We can have a rally here.
Sure.
We started
it. 30 Mountain Oysters on Toast, pretty something. You ever had it?
We did Springfield. That's all right. That's good country. And
you know what?
You ever had Mountain
Oysters?
You know what we're talking about then?
You know what they are?
God, I went out and spoke at some horrible place in Missouri in the Ozarks when I was a congressman in 1948. And there's only 80 people at the rally, which is not surprising. The guy turned that afterwards and took a photo of the chairman's to take out the dinner and went out to the Roadhouse restaurant. That's one thing that makes it look bad. Especially here, Mountain Oysters. Land profits. What the hell is a land profit? It's cheap nuts. It's going to slice and cook like an oyster. I kept that. It's unbelievable. They are great delicacy. That's what the advanced man is all about. I'm not going to eat a local delicacy. So that you got to get Mountain Oysters. Well, good. I like the idea. Remember the salute to agriculture. The thing I want to be reason I want to get on it. I want to announce that now.
Mm-hmm.
And I want them all invited for 2 months from now. See, then they'll all be coming. We'll put it on. We'll film it, send it all over the country. We want to remember that's the old way to do it is to go to Springfield. We can do that too. But the new way to do it is to do it here, get it on television, put it on film, get the farm in the afternoon. I had an all day session and I have the farm publications, and they need the farm publications. Probably farmers probably read those publications, but more than that, George is correct. It's the people around it. When a salute to agriculture is bad, for example, stopping at Chisholm University, Nebraska, stopped. It was a good idea because that's basically heartland country. It's a cut hard around the country. But coming back to this, I have a better feeling about Spencer than Palmby, frankly. I don't think, we don't need a guy, John, who knows how to do it. But anything can be done down in the Department of Agriculture. We need the guy that can sell it. And I can't see Clarence Palmby selling me anything. I just don't think he's that kind of a fellow. It isn't Congress we're trying to sell, we're mean.
No, I recognize that.
And he's got about a bunch of enthusiasms.
Well, Spitzer's a stumper, no question about that.
Oh, Spitzer comes in here, his eyes.
Down his throat.
And he talks about, you know, former farm manager. I dislike Spitzer or something. He's a troublemaker, but he's good. He's good.
Let us talk about the trip idea versus doing something here.
Week for Monday. Because you see, it has far more to do than with the farms. It says a whole belt of states down through there.
All right.
And with our rural development, where we can talk about $1 billion in rural development.
That is it. See, we can lift that. We can lift that tent.
Good.
And have a both a panel and also a listening session where they talk to us about what their problems are. And
what the hell are their problems?
Well, that's a darn good question.
I just wonder what they are. Why are they working? I don't know what they are.
I suspect you'll find that they're a lot like the businessman. That they really, just want to feel that you're listening. You get these businessmen in and you say, well, what should we do different than we're doing now? And they say, well, really not anything. But we're glad you asked us.
Except your wage controls.
No, even that. There are quite a few of them that are
interesting.
He's not on that.
People have suddenly felt that they're up pretty close to taking a look at controls. And they're backing away in droves. I had a visit from home builder, president of the outdoor and the incoming, the nice guys. And they were saying, well, we worried about these wage increases and everything, but controls. We had an hour and a half with the Fortune people today. They were sharp. They liked it. They didn't have a review. I think it was good to do, though. Not frankly, they had some good ideas that we got out of it, but it was good to have them exposed to the fact that at least I was knowledgeable on what the hell the score was about. They got that through, that came through.
They don't give in through very fast.
We really went over everything. And it gave Peterson a big send off, because now he can go up and see him. And he was very good. Don't you think?
Yeah, he was good. They know him quite well.
Heather
Donovan.
All right, Brendan. So we went through the whole thing, controls, everything else. They finally come down to the point that I do think they think there needs to be some economic education. Everybody says that. Pay attention to how many speeches are made. Not a press conference. And the idea of wage controls alone, well, that will not work. Politically.
It wouldn't work. I don't know why they get the idea that it's easier to just work about wages than practice. All of the guidelines and experiences that you need first. And working about practice. But is there the feeling that in the rural communities where you're in trouble?
Yeah. Yes.
A lot of it, I think, is just tempered with when you're in power, they make right back to you. In Iowa, the Democrats poured money on the farmers in the sky in 64 and 66, or you're all Republican congressmen. I don't know if that's just a national.
Basically, the farmers are bitching. That part of the country, he bitches all the time. There's no way you can win, but you just got to pay attention to him.
Well, this rural development thing, there's a lot of rhetoric, and we've got some good ideas. By folding the revenue sharing, we've really taken away our goody pile for what we can do. We can work formulas out for them, but there's really not all the things that we're discussing. This cabinet committee on rural development centered around the idea of finding out where areas are growing and then throwing some money in there to keep them growing. Well, I've always had a little problem with that because it puts you in a position of telling them who grows and who doesn't. And that's politically a very messy spot to be in.
Incidentally, I thought all these fellows were sharp. I thought the fellow sitting over here, the Jewish fellow, was rather incisive. Maybe you could just talk him over.
No, he's good. He's written some very good things.
They were all good, weren't they? Did you think you were together?
Good ones.
money supply, I got the impression that they were going to move, they were going to move, interesting enough, I don't think we ought to push Arthur, but I could disagree on it. Is that the impression you got from this fellow, at least?
Well, they're,
they're pretty
interested. They're not anxious to see the economy expand rather than.
Why?
And,
because they think it's long-range good will be done by us, be served by us lower.
Get the prices down, let the unemployment rise, and then, when we get the prices under control, we expand a little.
Yeah.
With the next president.
That's right.
It sounds good to have that.
They think that'd be great for whoever next occupies this office.
Well, but in a sense, it really isn't a good long-range thinking because the message.
Why not?
Well, the message would be that anyone who really tries to control things.
Is thrown out.
Is thrown out. But now you've got to have a program that works politically as well. On this farm business, the price side of it is tricky to handle. I went out and briefed on the CPI this morning. And the kind of question that comes at you and the results from the required system on your exhaust speech is noted as well. So farm food prices at the grocery store have been stable, and that's giving you a good break. But does this mean the administration is doing this, taking out the hide of the farmers, like the Secretary of Agriculture says, he thinks there should be higher prices?
What about that?
And is that what the attorney saying that?
Higher prices for farm food prices?
He says, in the name of God, is he talking about? Of course there shouldn't be.
Well, he's saying something that he thinks is,
well, but
what do you hear from the farmers, I suppose it is.
What did you say?
Well, I said that they, that there's a
difference
between the farm and the supermarket. There are a lot of things that come back.
And the main ingredient of food prices is not what the farmer gets, but what goes in between.
My point in bringing it up is that I think that subject needs some careful work. So it's likely to come up in any open session that you'd have or in some backgrounders that somebody might have. And we ought to have a good answer for it. I'll get to work on that.
One guy was saying here, but I didn't draw from the easy one. The other was lower. They're all against any Eastern economies against or city economies is always against all economies. So I think they're all harmful. And probably we ought to do the at least lower the support prices for corn. So what would that do? That would have much effect with the farmers. I don't know anybody, but I said, you ever heard of the corn hog ratio? That's all the farmers talk about. I don't know what it is. They don't.
Price of hogs and price of corn.
It has an enormous effect through those in the end. Oh, no, I vote. I vote no.
George had a matter with he wanted to take up with, and that's why I was passionate about John asking to take off that because this farm thing through some grass after I just letter message and so on there to go.
All right. But you
this. Well, I had a talk with Peter Flanagan.
Oh, yeah.
Your suggestion. And I would say follow up first. He will gladly and readily do anything that you say you would like him to do. He thinks the safety guard's job is a reasonably interesting job. Has some reluctance about it. He has had a couple of times in which Bill Rogers has approached him about something and then backed off.
Yeah.
Told him he didn't think he could get confirmed. One thing or another,
like that. Yeah, that's true.
It leaves Peter a little bit queasy, including being queasy about the question of whether he would really be on the inside when he got over there, whether he would be just sort of off to the side.
Yeah.
And he's really able to do the sort of things that, that you would be looking for him to do. I think, on balance, he'd rather stay here.
Just keep you
down. I think he would
good.
Have a glow for months if you call them in and said that, that there are these alternatives, and you want to see that he gets a chance at a good job that he's interested in. I didn't write down to what you would like. You'd like to have him close by.
I frankly think he's too valuable for us.
An additional point that he mentioned that I think is considerable importance. The State Department tends to be, at least traditionally, supposed to be insulated from politics. You know, to get out there.
Oh, yeah.
And he sees the 72 coming along.
Yeah.
He's very much wants to be involved. But that,
there's so many reasons. It's just simple. You're absolutely right. You know, I was thinking, the two, while we were talking on this, so they're offhand way. I think it's George John and I talked briefly about yesterday, and I'm sort of leaning that way, but I want to be sure that I want Pete to do what he feels best for him. He wants to say this is best for us. But I think that kind of a session of those, well, I don't have much time for that sort of thing, but it's probably a good thing for the people that come in, and it's probably a good thing for us to sit and talk to them. What do you think about that?
I think it's
and it's a good thing that that gets around through the, as it will, that'll go all over New York. We sat and talked with them for an hour and a half. What do you think?
Well, he picked up another angle, and I don't know whether these fellows picked it up or not. I think they did. But one of the things that struck Peterson was what a great sense of humor he had, and that there were all these little personal things. He was about to sort of delight. One of the points that he has stressed in our staff meetings is the human qualities of the president haven't come across, but they're very much there, and you see them right away when you sit around in a session like this. And I hope that they pick that up. And I know Pete is sort of telling that.
I think it's good for these fellows to think of what we know. See, that I think the general impression is that I sit here and that you and maybe McCracken and a couple of others determine what health policy is, that I really don't weigh all these things. You know, they can board policy that, well, I get a lot of advice that I decided. I think most everybody thinks so. That I, if I think I decide more than I do. But it'd be this field, but I don't. Well, I'm in this field, and I don't decide why it's in this field. I've been exposed to it tonight, but I know something about it. There's a chance to talk, and they're talking about these subjects. And you've got to, these fellows want to think that you know what the hell you're talking about a cost price, a wage price, but you think that's true, and know that what causes it, the difference, why one deficit is good, another deficit is bad, and all that sort of thing. It gives them a sense of confidence in our own policies. You know, if you can have it, you can have any kind of a policy. But if they think the man that makes it doesn't know why he's made it, they have less confidence in it than if they think he does know why. And whether it's wrong or right, maybe you become much less lower in the foot. Do you think that's true?
Something certainly got to study residents.
I know you get
that. Mr. President, this morning, you told Mr. Black that when his four great-grandchildren were bad, they're here, so there are also five YRs behind him.
Yeah. Well, that's was spent about 5 years. We got 5 minutes.
There is a 4 o'clock gathering that you can be late to that also, so they're having refreshments over there.
Yeah, I just called again.
Is everybody in there?
Lovely. Still getting off the bus. George, can I suggest one thing that I would like very much to do? I'd like to see, as I believe, the masses and throw this into the PRP. We've got to get this offensive going on our manpower training initiative. And that part of revenue sharing. Particularly the fact that we need to have in that manpower training. We have an interim program for public service and jobs and so on. I think we should build a person mainly to show concern about the problem. We are concerned about just sending something every week forward, concerned about the unemployment, build something about it. Second thing is it builds back. 500,000 people in Vietnam Veterans Court or something.
Don't we have a pretty good story to tell there?
We have a good story to tell. I like swing trade, special revenue sharing, and a lot of sharing.
Will we be ready to send that part of it yet first, when John hears it?
No, that'll be easy to be halfway through. No, it's fairly tough, but
is there any way that
we'll get it out through testimony? Now, Jim Munson has to testify next week, and we've been talking to
him. We can do something at this level. We can just pump it out there. We have a big manpower training thing. Forget whatever, what the whole pass on, I give up with that, but a manpower training to provide training, 500 million, I mean, to put in $1 billion, provide training for, and let's get some numbers, 2 million jobs. All right, see what I mean? Find enough to make one up. The other thing is, the SST, we've got to get off the defensive on that. Just talked about the SST, I was prepared to go to the The SST means 150,000 jobs. Look at that. 150,000 jobs, $6 to $10 billion in tax revenue, $20 billion in foreign exchange. Very simple, same thing. Let's get humping on it that way. At this level, I'll find a way to get through some of these things. But the manpower training appeals to me. I think it's a good program. Am I wrong?
I've been working on this for years. Very good program. I think you can go out and defend on it. And when it really comes to producing jobs in the economy, the process of economic expansion, once it gets going, just moves by down. There's no direct manpower program to come anywhere near. That's the big manpower training. Manpower training, well, if you talk about jobs, to public service jobs, experience, or something like that, spend $1 billion, and maybe you get 350,000 jobs or something if you're lucky.
It will be a permanent government goal. I mean, WTA, you know that. It will, and not a halfway house. The ours is a different approach. That's the other thing, too, on welfare. I think if we could get a little more of that feeling about welfare, the purpose of this is not to put more people on welfare, which it does, but the purpose is to get people the hell off of welfare by giving them a halfway house. And I don't understand. I mean, we don't want to push for welfare program out there, right?
Well, welfare, the way Jim is getting positioned on Monday, we'll have to help him get that testimony, be aggressive, but pushing the special revenue sharing, the amounts of money that are in it, that's all identified in the budget. The fact that we increased the budget for that about $400 billion in the proposal. And in the proposed welfare reform, in addition to the increases in the present WIC program, we propose there a big job creation effort. Not only the public sector, but private sector jobs, wherever they may be.
What I mean, a pretty good story. If you were to put this through your government, let's find a way where we can express concern and care for it and so forth, rather than just waiting for the next press conference to do it, because those sons of bitches won't ask the question. I won't get a chance. I mean, they might, but about one chance out of five, we can go out there and find ways to pump it out through and say we're interested. Let's hypo some of these things. Don't you agree? Mm-hmm. Good for us.
I think
we got a good program. Well, we should be defensive about it.
I talked about that as Secretary of Labor constantly.
That's right. We got a good program here, John. We've got it, and that's not be bad for us. All you folks at your level, there's nothing like doing that at this level, but you know.
Right.
We whack it out there. I might write a letter to a lot of people, put a letter out, publish it. Trying to get back to Spitzer mainly because of his enthusiasm and he had. He really cares a lot about these things.
Yeah. And he's hungry. He wants to be here.
I don't have any advice about these. So, tired. Good man, right where he is.
Yeah, he's a good technician and he's pretty good on the hill. He's
No, but he can do that from where he is. We don't need him for the hill.
Well, I mean, you can use Hyde Murray from time to time, too.
I mean, you can use Palmia, too. But Spencer can be here. We want him as our PR guy with the farmers. He brings in the magazines. He brings in farmers. He does this and that. He likes to do it. I think it'd be great.
The fact is, we got to start doing this. So
right.
We've got to have somebody who does that sales care.
All great to see. Change the emphasis.
Everybody around this shop does something. I know I saw it. It's just
we gotta have a program. Let me do something about jobs for blacks. You gotta do that. They gotta give them pressure. Give them all the jobs where they can be overemployed. They couldn't have any difference. They're still not the blackest or the country. But we had to look for the cook's right. On the other hand, they might say about jobs for veterans, that's a hell of an important thing, important for us. And in this case, John, I really feel that we are going for, actually, for 3/4 of the country, we're doing what needs to be done. And we're getting away from this business of just having a knee-jerk reaction because a bunch of radical leftists in some large cities jump up and down and say, we're the problem. We poured too much into the ghetto, as a matter of fact. Relative to poor people in other parts of the country. There are more poor people in rural America than are in these damn cities. That doesn't mean we ought to do for both. It's true. Isn't this true?
In a different way.
Well, they think the rural America is easier to live.
This was the burden of Reston's column, that what you have proposed, agree or disagree on individual items, was genuine reform.
Sure. So lesson, and also not one I just took to the streets, which many men have thought to. The difficulty with a man of thought too often these days is that he is so frustrated with the fact that he doesn't know how to act. He's lost in this world of pragmatic politicians. And so what does he do? He gets out and carries a goddamn banner and accomplishes nothing. But not Wilson. Wilson, a man of thought, who could otherwise have written pamphlets, which was the way of carrying banners in those days, Wilson proceeded to learn about the system. And he went in with the New Jersey bosses and crap-ridden, corrupt bunch of Democratic politicians, took them over, had a meeting out of his hands, and then took the Democratic nomination and became a great president. That's the Wilson thing. He put that in 2 minutes, they'll love it.
He really was quite tall.
Utterly beautiful letter.
In the cabinet room where I happen to sit at the table, I'm sort of right across from his work.
That's the first time since he was president, and there have been Democratic presidents in that period, you can say that it's quite ironical to note that for the first time since Woodrow Wilson has been president, and there have only been, and in that period of time, in that past 50 years, that for 42 of those 50 years, Democrats have served in the White House, that a portrait of Wilson is hung in the cabinet room. I like that. Also, Tricia goes with the Princeton poem. You might make that point. That was slim.